Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear from Tucson, Arizona, here with
Jason Shear from the Kimpton Hotel in Salt Lake City.
And as you can tell, I am very thrilled, but we're at the end of the day and Jason has been at the arena all day long and we're on a clock because he's exhausted, but we're both elated. Arizona won today, first round of the tournament, curse defeated, no longer have to worry about it, monkey off the back. They beat Long Beach State by 20. Jason, what was the final score?
85-65. Your Wildcats. Yeah. You want to do the read and then we'll jump right into this sexiness.
Yes. As usual, our wonderful sponsor has a few words. Managing your money involves more than simply making and following a budget. You may be great at spending less than you take in, but if you don't put your excess money to work, your savings could be dry as the Sonoran Desert. Money management with us at Longview Insurance and Investments involves creating budgets to understand and decide where your money is growing efficiently. Learn more and visit our website at www.longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn much. There we go. Shout out to Andre. As usual, thank you, sir. All right, moving on to the fun stuff. We're talking about the game that happened today first, right?
I sent you the questions, dude.
I know. I'm just saying. Okay, since the game is really on Saturday, as we just recently found out.
Shelby is still fuming, and I saw it in person. I want to be very clear here, okay? That was a clean block.
It was a clean block? I can't believe that couldn't have been looked at after all the stupid reviews we saw today. They couldn't look at that block?
No, they're not allowed. But it was really funny because all the Big 12 fans were like tweeting at me. They're like, welcome to the Big 12 where Kansas gets all the calls. Like, I wasn't close because there's an over. What happens is you cover your session and then they put you in an overflow, which is actually still fine. You're kind of up, but not too up. And so, like, even from my seat, I was like, that was a clean block, but they don't show replays in the arena because they don't want to get the fans all rowdy and stuff. But that was good. Like, I had a lot of fun because after the Arizona game, and I wouldn't have had this fun had Arizona lost, I basically just watched games as a fan.
And yeah, you were there all day long.
Yeah, like me and Brian Peterson watched the second session and I was openly rooting for Samford. I didn't give a shit. It was me in the entire arena rooting for Samford and there was a lot of angry people, but it's like nice.
You could hear it on TV. I mean, you even tweeted it was going to be a riot in there. That was ridiculous. And then when they showed the replay, Brielle and I just like lit off the couch. Like I just got home. By the way, people, I watched the game earlier today, Arizona's game. I went into work late after the game because I have that luxury to do that. And then I had a concert tonight. So I literally was just getting updates from Jason from text and watching Twitter every once in a while. So I missed some of those games.
I kept texting you, oh my God, Kentucky. And you're like, eventually, like, Jason, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I had to say, I have no idea what's going on.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
Wow, yeah, I have a concert going on. And by the way, it was a gorgeous night. And it was one of my favorite concerts we've done. It was just, everything happened perfectly. Great music, great people, great food trucks. I had a really, really good dinner because I realized I hadn't really eaten today. And then I got to come home and watch the end of that Samford-Kansas debacle. And I feel so bad for Samford because they were so close.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm still a little hopped up from it, but I'm centering myself. Okay, I'm good. Since the game is early on Saturday, i.e. Arizona, we will get to Dayton here in a minute. What did you take away from Arizona's win over the beach today?
I think I said after the loss of the Pac-12 tournament that it's almost pointless to analyze what went wrong because it's just a time of year where you could win by 20 or win by one. Your goal is just to win. But there's still a few takeaways. I mean, I felt like Arizona basically, it felt like it was a matter of time. Because even when the game was close in the first half and Arizona fans were freaking out, and I totally got it, Arizona was getting very clean looks at the rim. They were really getting whatever.
They just weren't going in.
The layups weren't going in. And, you know, Arizona wound up finishing the game 12 of 29 on layups, which is unacceptable, but there were other ways to score. But this, you know, I know people were harking back to Princeton and all that, but this never felt like Princeton. This felt like it was just a matter of time because I think the big difference between, like, besides the Arizona's rosters being completely different, Long Beach State doesn't defend. I mean, there is no defense being played at all by Long Beach State. And it was just a matter of time.
No, they just kind of group in the middle. They just try to defend basket. That was about it.
Well, they win. And like I mentioned this in the preview, how they won against USC. Like, they kind of lull you into like USC was 9 of 31 from three, right? And like, you know, if even that. And so, you know, overall, like, that's what they do. Like, they say, hey, shoot threes. Like, if you make them, so be it. And Arizona made 13 of 35 threes, which sounds bad, but it's 38%. You're making 13 threes. You're going to win a lot of games that way. And 38% is fine. But like I said, like, in Long Beach State, just, I mean, the stuff they shoot is just wild. I mean, you know, Marcus Ahonis was just shooting. I mean, he wasn't even looking at the rim for half his shot with 10 points. Jalen Jones, who I actually like quite a bit, did nothing. Lucina Traore, the big guy, did nothing and fouled out. Abubakar Traore, who's really good, had 14 points and 15 rebounds, but he was 6 of 16. I mean, it's just that their better players didn't really do anything, whereas Arizona had five guys in double figures and in that second half shot 45%, turned the ball over five times, held Long Beach State to 27%, and we saw what happened.
Right. All right. Which players stood out to you the most?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? Number one, Kylan Boswell. Career high 20 points. And he had 8 assists and 1 turnover, which is just as impressive. But I love the fact that he took 19 shots. Pella said after that he passes up a lot of open shots where they basically beg him to take the shots. And today he took them. And 8 for 19 isn't, you know, it's 40% or whatever it is. But they were all good shots, right? And his one turnover was after he made the alley-oop, the lob to Umar. He tried it again and it didn't work. But he really controlled the game. Like, there were times where Long Beach State was coming back and he hit a big three or made a good pass, or, you know, he defended really well. This was a fantastic game for him. Umar Ballo, I thought Umar changed the game. I really do. In the second half, Long Beach State took it to the rim like three times, and Umar was right there. They went scoreless. Arizona jumped out 6-0 in the second half. He changed the entire game on defense. 4 for 4 from the field, 11 points, 13 rebounds. You know, I thought that this was one of his. He had 4 blocks. I thought this was one of his better defensive games of the season. Lasina Touré is not awful by any means, and
he's not.
He completely controlled the interior.
First half
when he was in the game. Keyshawn Johnson, I thought was great. 13 points, 5 rebounds, a lot of energy. Caleb Love is an interesting one. He had 18 points. He shot poorly, 6 of 17. He shot way too many threes. Look, if he makes a couple more, then he doesn't shoot too many threes. Tommy Lloyd is never going to tell these guys to pass up an open shot. But I think the biggest thing to me is when that shot's not hitting, what else is Caleb Love doing? And he defended well, and he added 11 rebounds and 5 assists and didn't turn the ball over. So, yeah, he didn't shoot well, but when you're contributing in other areas like he did, you can live with it. So, Arizona actually kind of shot better than the 45%. It only made one of its last 8 when Arizona put the walk-ons in and everything. They missed quite a few shots. So,
yeah, they did.
Overall, it's win in advance, but Arizona pretty much did to Long Beach State. You can't play like Long Beach State did against Arizona and expect to win the game. You just can't, especially when you're trying to do something that Arizona loves to do with players that aren't as good as Arizona's players doing it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I was watching the first half, like everyone getting a little panicky, but I never thought Arizona was going to lose the game because I could tell even though shots weren't going in, you look at the law of averages, I tell myself, they are going to go in the second half. I knew that. And I could also tell that even by the end of the first half, Long Beach State was getting a little tired. Like I'm always watching body language. And like, if anyone was watching that Kansas game, hopefully everyone was, you could tell Kansas was at the end of its rope. So, I mean, Arizona can play that game all day long. They're just better conditioned. They're better athletes. So like you can look at that and kind of, kind of get the panic out a little bit. That's how I look at it.
And I will say one thing. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say something about Kylan. You go first.
Well, and one thing is I tweeted before the game, and I think people thought I was kidding, but you saw it all day. The rims in the nets are brand new.
Yeah,
that's hard. The entire night, the ball kept getting stuck. And when you're a pressing team or you want to get out and run, when the ball gets stuck, it's a legit issue. And there was a guy on a ladder during commercials and in between games trying to loosen the net. I'm curious if they try to find a way to fix it. But the rims were really hard, too. And so when I saw that yesterday and I saw it in warmups, I warned people, I said, this is going to be an ugly ass basketball game. And the start of like every game here today was ugly. Like teams were not hit to start the game. And I think it'll be better on Friday. But like you take a look at the other games. I mean, in the first half, teams didn't shoot well either in the other games. And so, it's kind of a it's I assume it'll be better. But it was definitely like an actual thing. Usually I think those questions are corny or whatever. But by the end of the night, there was a reporter that asked the coaches or one of the, I think it was, I don't remember who it was, about the net because it was ridiculous.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see an improvement for the next round. I mean, at least every of the Thursday games did the Friday games a service by, using the nets and everything. One thing I was going to mention that I was impressed about with Kyler, I thought it was funny when he had that dunk, just when he kind of got the steal and they were doing the fast break. He could have passed it to Caleb. I don't remember who else was down the court with him.
Yeah,
it might have been Jaden.
He wanted to dunk it. It was a fun moment.
But he wanted to dunk it, but you could tell at that point, like, it was just funny. And that was the moment where everything loosened up.
They gave him so much crap. And in the locker room, Caleb was making fun of him. And Boswell got back and was watching the dunk on his phone with, I think it was Morauskas. And It was kind of funny.
Yeah, and one thing I heard, I was listening to the, I think Brian Jeffries after the game, because I went to work after the game almost right away, and they interviewed Caleb in the locker room, and I liked the way he talked about Boswell afterwards too, just saying, you know, he played a good game, and we expect him to do that, you know, at every game, you know, like that expectation isn't just the fans, not just what Tommy's saying, like we. You know, when you have your teammate like Caleb Love, who's the Pac-12 Player of the Year, saying that about you, I'm hoping that is a good confidence booster that's going to take Kylan into the next game. So we'll see. But I know that I've been hard on Kylan this year, and I honestly think rightly so. I think you should hold people accountable, and I also think you should give them their flowers. And so Kylan earned it today, and that was who I was the most happy with today. But anyway, one more question about this game. Which players? So now we did that. Any major concerns coming out of the game?
I mean, when you think about it, like it, Arizona statistically, there were some glaring things, but at the same time, I don't get too worried. You know, Long Beach State puts up a lot of trash, and this is going to sound weird, but I actually, like, we were talking, me and a couple other guys, and like they put up a lot of trash and they kind of know what trash they're putting up. And so some of the balls took like the most random bounces off the rim because of the shots they took. And Arizona got out rebounded, which is not good. Like,
Long Beach, I texted you. I said, what the F is going on with the rebounding?
Yeah, because Long Beach State, now I will say this, Long Beach State isn't an awful rebounding team offensively. They're actually 54th in the nation in offensive rebounding percentage, which isn't bad at all. But, you know, it's interesting. And points in the paint. Long Beach State got more points in the paint than Arizona. But I think part of that is kind of, it's the design, right? Like, you're basically telling Arizona, go ahead, shoot threes, and they're going to shoot threes. And so the points in the paint, you know, if I finish with 8 points in the paint, and 88 points from three, he really gives a shit how many points in the paint I scored. You know what I mean? So that was kind of skewed, but the rebounding one was interesting to me.
Yeah, the rebounding was a concern, but I agree. I think it was just the game plan of Long Beach State to get Arizona out of that game. And honestly, props to Arizona for finding a way to win. Because at this point, you know, you want us to shoot those threes. Okay, we're going to shoot those threes and we're going to make them. We may not make them the way that dude on who beat Kentucky tonight, Oakland's, you know, shooting all those threes, but they've made enough of them, and that's what was one of the biggest differences in the game. So I was happy with that, and you know, I think that this game against Dayton is going to look completely different, so we'll get into that. As I mentioned 2 seconds ago, Arizona faces Dayton on Saturday. How did Dayton get here?
You know, I will say that it was pretty cool. I saw two very good games today, right? Like, and that was one of them. That was a wild game. It was just like, that's the only
I'm bummed I missed it.
We're analyzing, and rightfully so, we're analyzing you know, Dayton, that's who Arizona's playing. But Dayton needed a 24-4 run over the last 7 minutes and somehow got a 24-4 run. I mean, that Nevada looked awesome in the first half. You know, if you looked at the first half stats, Nevada shot 48%, right? And 14 of 29, they're not turning the ball over. They look awesome. Dayton shoots 41%. They're not making threes. And then all of a sudden, the second half, Dayton makes 5 of 7 threes. They make 50% from the field. They're better on the glass. And it was very similar to kind of last year's Arizona team, to be honest, where Dayton started pressing and Nevada's guards looked like they wanted nothing to do with that game. Absolutely nothing. Blackshear turned it over 5 times. Lucas took some random shot that happened to go in. They started putting up junk. They just didn't look like they belonged. Meanwhile, Dayton is slowing it down. You know, even when they force turnovers, they're slowing it down. Deron Holmes starts to kind of get going in the second half a little bit. You know, you take a look at the second half box, you know, Deron Holmes had 10 points. Kobe Brea was really good in the second half. My guy Cheeks, last name Cheeks, was good in the second half. And you know, they're a good defensive team. But, you know, with that being said, like 24-4 over 7 minutes.
Crazy.
It's just insane.
I can only imagine being there live watching that. You were texting me like, Shelby, this is getting crazy. Oh my God, Shelby, this is getting crazy. What type of team is Dayton?
So Dayton is, in terms of style, the best comparison I could have is Virginia. They play a lot like Virginia. Now, they don't play it as good as Virginia, right?
Uh-huh.
But they play it like Virginia. Like when Virginia won the national title, their tempo was basically similar to Dayton this year. The difference was they were second on offense and fifth on defense, and Dayton isn't that, you know. And you know, you take a look at Dayton this year, they're 21st on offense in KenPom, they're 70th on defense, and they slow the ball a lot. They're 336 on tempo. They take a long time for their opponents to shoot because of how good their defense is. Their effective field goal percentage is ninth in the country. Their opposing effective field goal is 51st in the country. They do not turn the ball over. They also don't force turnovers, but they don't really turn the ball over a lot. What's interesting about Dayton is they will not offensive rebound. They don't really try. Their offensive rebounds are kind of by accident. They get back on defense almost right when a shot gets put up. Against Nevada, for instance, they only had 3 offensive rebounds on 25 missed shots.
Dang.
They don't do it. So they had 3 offensive rebounds and for 4 second chance points. They're 266th in the country. They don't really rebound that good, period. They're 167th in defensive rebounding. They go to the line. They do not foul at all whatsoever. They are 3rd in the country. They don't foul. Your concern comes in where they shoot 40% from behind the arc, 3rd in the country. Very good.
Yikes.
They defend the 3 very well. They're good offensive. They're really slow. Like they're similar to Virginia. You know, they don't block shots. They don't really go for steals. It is sound defense, and we're going to force teams to miss. They shoot a lot of 3s. 22nd in the country in point distribution. 3s, 38% of their points come from behind the arc. That is a very, very, very high number. You know, they 44, 32nd in the country in 3-point attempts to field goal attempts. I mean, that's where their points are coming from. It's not coming from the free throw line, even though they get to the line at a decent rate. It is coming from 3. They're not big. They don't have a bench. They're not that old. You know, they are going to shoot 3s, and they are going to live and die by the 3s in their defense.
Okay, makes me a little nervous. What matchup intrigues you the most?
I mean, really, for Dayton, there's one guy, and look, I think they're talented. Let me rephrase that. I think they're talented beyond one guy, but the matchup that intrigues everyone is very clearly Daron Holmes, right? And Daron Holmes is a center. You know, he's stiff a little bit defensively, but offensively, he's very good. You know, he's a guy where you take a look at him. He draws fouls. His free throw rate is high. He shoots 60% from 2. He shoots 38% from 3. He's made 30 threes this season, which isn't great, but he's attempted 80. So he shoots 2 threes a game. He's a good defensive rebounder. And it's one of those matchups. I feel like Daron Holmes probably can't guard Umar Ballo. And I'm not sure how much Umar Ballo can guard Daron Holmes. Like, it's one of those matchups where I'm not sure either guy can really guard the other. The other matchup that intrigues me is Kobe Brea at the 3 versus Pelle Larsen. You know, Kobe averages 11 points, 4 rebounds. He is very, very efficient. He shoots 50% from the field. Shelby, he's hitting 49% from 3.
Dang.
That's the guy. Like, all for all the attention that Daron Holmes gets, that's the guy. And so, you know, that to me, like, it's very obvious how this game's going to go. If Arizona wins, I can tell you exactly how they're going to win. And if they lose, I can tell you exactly how they're going to lose. It's one of those games.
That's awesome because you're about ready to tell us that. What are the keys to victory for Arizona?
You got to contain Dayton's three. Now, I'm really curious to see how Tommy guards Dayton. That drop coverage is a little dangerous with the way that Dayton plays. My assumption is that Dayton is going to put Umar Ballo into a ton of ball screens. You know, we saw against a little bit against Long Beach State. Does Arizona go small? Do they put Keyshot at the five and say, look, you're giving up a few inches to Holmes, but you're strong. You can handle the ball screens, whatever it may be. Or does Arizona trust Ballo? I'm really curious to see how Arizona attacks that. Look, it to me, it's real simple, right? If Dayton is inefficient offensively and isn't hitting from three, I don't see how they win. I just don't. You know, so Arizona has to contain that. They have to take care of the ball against a team that doesn't force turnovers. And if they do that, I really think they'll be fine.
Sorry, watching the replay of the game, and I just saw the slow-mo of Tonis elbowing Caleb in the face. Like, that's why I said, ooh, that looked like it hurt. Yeah. Okay, well, knowing all of that and all of your wisdom, Jason, what is your prediction?
So a couple of things stand out to me when I look at Dayton. I think a lot of times you also have to look at level of competition, right? They have beaten a tournament team. They beat Duquesne earlier this year. They beat Nevada today, and they beat Oakland. That's it. Those are the only tournament teams they beat the entire season. They lost to Houston by 14. They lost to Northwestern early in the season. They lost to Loyola Chicago, George Mason, VCU, Richmond, right? You know, it's look like I think this is a good team. I really do. I said this before, and I'm not going to back off it just because they won. I would have rather played Nevada. I think Nevada would have had major, major matchup concerns against Arizona to the point where I think Arizona would have beat Nevada comfortably. Dayton really slows it down and really shoots the three well. And we have seen Arizona lose to teams like that. Now, I will say the difference between a Dayton and the teams that Arizona lost to this year or that the teams that Arizona lost to this year were bigger. Stanford, Washington State, Oregon State, USC, Oregon, they are bigger than Dayton. The closest thing in terms of height and all that and style would be Florida Atlantic, but Florida Atlantic is also a different team. And let's be honest, Arizona kind of choked that one away, right?
Yeah.
So to me, I like the way Arizona's playing right now. I do. And I think Arizona's seen enough style, you know, in terms of Dayton. I don't think Dayton's going to do anything crazy. They're going to play a little bit of zone, but they don't play a ton of zone. I assume they're going to play zone against Arizona, though. You know, again, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be scary, but I like Arizona 77, Dayton 71.
Okay. I agree with all of that. I think Arizona's just too talented. I think that Tommy has put them through the ringer as far as seeing teams that are going to be similar to this, but I think that the talent gap is just wide, and it would have to be another really bad night, like, you know, when they lost in the tournament to they just didn't want to play. And I don't get the vibe or the feeling that they're vibing in the we don't want to play, like they really want to get out of this weekend. I would imagine Caleb will try to like have a better night than he had even today. So I'm gonna say a little lower than that. I'm gonna say Arizona 75 and Dayton 66.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be ugly, a little ugly. But, you know, who cares? Advance and survive. That's the whole thing?
Yeah, I get
survive,
it.
Survive in advance. Did I say it the wrong way?
Survive in advance.
Survive in advance. For one shining moment. We can't think about that. Is there anything about today, any of like the upset losses? Like, were you surprised? Obviously, Kentucky losing, but Texas Tech just lost tonight too to NC State.
Yeah,
and that was 6-11.
That's not really an upset. Spread.
That's not really an upset. Oregon, that was not an upset at all. You called that.
The only legit upset that you say, oh crap, was Kentucky. The other ones weren't really. I am intrigued by Friday's docket, because a lot of times I'm of the belief when one day is chalk for the most part,
the next day's crazy.
I'd say it's crazy.
I was just like, I had to be at work tomorrow. There's all these games on that I want to watch. Oh, it's so hard. But I did get to watch Arizona live, and a lot of people had to watch it on their phones, so I can't complain. But all right, anything else of note, or you're definitely going to go pass out now?
I'm a warrior, second wind. No, I'm going to pass out.
A warrior. You have a busy day on Friday. I know you have a lot of appearances and radio things that you're doing. So when you're listening to this on Friday, you're probably also going to be hearing Jason several times. So on that note,
you have no more notes. Are.
You have no more notes. Okay. No matter where you are,
who you're with,
or what you do,
you can always,
siempre bear down.
Bear downness. Shelby, we went the whole podcast. Shout out to Arizona women's basketball as well, who won their first round game.
Let's go, lady.
Due in large part to what Aurora described as vicious yelling by Brielle.
Brielle was so spent that when I got home from the concert, she just was staring blankly at the TV. So Brielle gave it her all, and she willed Arizona women to win. Good job, Brielle.
Brielle, don't mess around, dog.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Taco make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.